radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Where's Nick Caserio's mind? Because the Houston Texans did not trade for Joe Tooney, who the Bears got today. The two-time All-Pro left tackle, who also plays left guard, for just a 2026 fourth-round pick. Where are they at? Why didn't they go after him? Truly, can't figure it out. Unless it's this. Here's the devil's advocate argument. Because, again, it's hard to think of one. Because Nick Caserio drafted Joe Tooney when he was in New England. It's this. There are a lot of free agent offensive linemen. I'm not going to pretend to know who's good, who isn't. But on the top 100 list of offensive linemen, all of these following guys are going to be available. At least as of now. Ravens left tackle, Ronnie Stanley. Vikings tackle, Cam Robinson. You might remember him with the Jaguars. Falcons center, Drew Dahlman. Eagles guard, Mekhi Becton. I don't know about that one. Colts guard, Will Fries. Packers center, Josh Myers. Lions guard, Kevin Zietler. That's a guy C.J. Stroud's brought up wanting to play with. Bucks guard, Ben Bredesen. Bears offensive lineman, Tevin Jenkins. Ravens guard, Patrick McCary. Colts center, Ryan Kelly. Jags guard, Brandon Scherff. Steelers tackle, Dan Moore. Jets tackle, Morgan Moses. Browns tackle, Jedrick Wills. There's lots of offensive linemen available. So maybe that's why the Texans didn't pull the trigger on a trade. Still, this one's a weird one for me. Some have suggested this is Junior Broncos. Maybe the Chiefs didn't want to trade him to the AFC. That could be a possibility. King of Twitch suggests maybe the Texans are just stupid, and Junior Broncos piggybacked off of that, saying maybe they huff their own farts. They don't huff their own farts the way that they used to. They used to huff their own farts, though. Paul, what are you talking about? No, I don't mean like physically. This is a team, though. This is an organization that I think before Hannah McNair stepped in and helped change, I think, the way things are run there and made them a little bit less deaf to what the city thinks about them, they have been less arrogant. They used to be very arrogant. They used to assume that they would be supported no matter what. And I think that the lean years of the Bill O'Brien era and some of the lean years post Gary Kubiak, where people seemed to get frustrated with the team that was actually competitive, showed them that, yeah, you can't just assume you're going to have support because you're replacing a team that left. And I know that, like, this audience in particular, compared to maybe some of the other sports radio audiences in town, this is definitely one that's a lot more laissez-faire when it comes to how they feel about this team. And last year was a massive disappointment, you know? Anyway, there you go. More comments here on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Battery Chucker asks, Battery Chucker points out, Nick Caserio said this morning, Shaq Mason played better than any offensive lineman this season. Did he say that on the flagship? Now that is very hard to believe. And honestly, I feel like now Battery Chucker, this is Battery Chucker's thing. I think Battery Chucker now puts things out there that aren't 100% true. I think yesterday, wasn't he the one that was throwing fake names out there that we were reading? Yeah, he was. I have a short memory. 100% a short memory. So, what are some other options for the Houston Texans? There's another guy who's getting cut. Jaguars wide receiver Christian Kirk will be cut, along with Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett. Kirk, Lockett are two guys the Texans should 100% pick up the phone and look into. Kirk was actually pretty good in Jacksonville, but like many Jacksonville signings, they way overpaid for him. And now that they have Brian Thomas, I think they believe they can go in a different direction when it comes to wide receiver. DK Metcalf requested a trade. Don't do it. The Texans should just keep waiting. There's going to be a lot of wide receivers hitting the open market. The one I'm wondering about is Cooper Kupp, who we haven't seen anything yet about his future, but I don't think that the Rams are going to be able to find a trade partner for him. And I don't know if they're going to restructure his contract, especially after they brought in Puka Nacua. It was a late round pick. I think they probably feel to themselves, you know what? We got Matt Stafford. We got Sean McVay. I don't know if it's necessarily worth it to give some sort of restructure or extension to a guy who hasn't been the same player he was in 2021 since 2021. It's been a while. So there will be options for the Texans to go after in free agency. And they're going to need to go get a wide receiver. Today, Tank Dell had another surgery. It's not because of a setback. Just remember, he tore all of his ligaments in his knee. And I think he dislocated his kneecap too. Does that mean you need to have surgery there? He had his second surgery after an LCL and MCL surgery on January 15th. This time he had a surgery done on his ACL. He's not playing this coming season. He's not playing. It's a bummer, but and maybe we see the same kind of like, oh, could Lance McCullers be back out there? Oh, could Justin Verlander be back out there for the World Series? Like maybe you see that in the playoffs. Maybe come week 18 or the first round of the playoffs, Dell is getting closer and closer to a return. But yeah, probably not. So you're going to have to look at a wide receiver in free agency and perhaps look at one in the draft. They did free up a little bit of space by restructuring Nico Collins' contract. They cleared $9.8 million in doing so. So, all right, $10 million more of space. And I think that next up, you would assume that Derek Stingley, who's due for a contract extension, gets paid. So the Texans free up a little bit more money in the short term. Because guess what? You give a guy a long-term contract, you can push money back, the salary cap continues to go up, blah, blah, blah. Money, things that are honestly boring to have explained to you. You want to join in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We do have a couple of texts here. From the 713, I really hope John Metchie goes to the Cowboys. They could use him as a deep threat. Roll Tide. So this is a really bad take. Guys, John Metchie, it's very cool that he's figured out a way to get on the field in the NFL. Is that a sarcastic take? You want him on the Cowboys? You think he's going to help out the Cowboys? I don't know about that. What else do we have here? Ooh, from the 832. Paul, is this your same demeanor on dates? If so, I can understand why you strike out. Well, because I'm just doing a little Aggie him in last segment. Are you telling me that, you know, a horse laugh, that's not going to seal the deal? That's not going to get me from date one to date two? That's not nice. That's not very nice at all. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next on the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I have a question. It has to do with a outburst that took place on a national stage last night. Who in Houston media would be most likely to do this? Stick around on Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Couple of texts. Eric the Driver says, Paul, if this is your demeanor on dates, I don't know how you don't have dozens of baby mamas / baby daddies. Well, I do. It's called, you gotta make sure that you use protection, kids. But here's the thing. Again, it's been a while. It's been a while since I had any luck on the apps. The apps are terrible, too, when you get back on them. For those who are in a relationship or married, you're not missing out. They're kind of addictive. and you just swipe and swipe and swipe. And you feel kind of bad while you do it, too, because you're judging a person generally entirely off their appearance at first. Like, you might see their profile and say to yourself, oh, yeah, this person I could get along with. But, like, let's be real. It's pretty much a look show until, you know, you actually meet the person face-to-face and talk with them a little bit. Another question on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. This one, a text. It asks about another potential Houston Texan. DeMarcus Robinson, who's a Chiefs wide receiver. You might remember DeMarcus Robinson as being a first-round pick. Check that. A fourth-round pick of the Kansas City Chiefs back in 2016. I confused him with Mecole Hardman. There's been a lot of Chiefs fast wide receivers. So, DeMarcus Robinson, let's just say off the field, the guy is like the embodiment of Urban Meyer's Florida, even though he played at Florida whenever, when Urban Meyer wasn't there anymore. DeMarcus Robinson, get this, was suspended twice during his freshman year at Florida for failing multiple tests for marijuana. Two drug tests for marijuana his freshman year. And there was a moment where Jim McElwain, yeah, the coach who you might remember from the viral picture where it looked like he was sleeping with a shark. Was that him? I don't think so. He basically said at one point, Robinson's going to forgo his senior season and go into the draft. Robinson, I don't think, made that announcement. Robinson in the NFL, guess what? Over the last 2 years, has had two DUIs. So let's just say whether it's from his college time or his NFL time, I think it's unlikely that the Texans bring in DeMarcus Robinson, Sean. I think they would probably look at him as a bad dude.
Not Texans worthy.
Not Texans worthy, that's for sure.
Until the DUIs, I was okay. My mind was open to like, some guy failed marijuana tests
right. Forever,
7 years ago now, however long it is. The DUIs, that's tough. It's a little bit of, well, did you learn your lesson? Because that's all the drug test stuff for any of those leagues are.
Right.
Especially the non-performance enhancer ones, the substance abuse ones. A lot of them pretty easy to get around. It's more of a, are you even doing the minimum effort to get around doing these?
And that's for college. So that was his rookie, his freshman year of college.
College too.
That's he's 18. That's when he's 18. But two DUIs in 1 year, bro. Come on.
That's tough.
You got an NFL salary.
Take that to the Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, that is a Chiefs player.
Systems fit.
That is a Bengals player. So, last night I was at the rodeo. I watched Reba instead of the Rockets suffering a karmic loss that they deserved because they didn't try on Monday. They lost to the Pacers, got smoked. All those guys, they rested on Monday, played like ass on Tuesday. But there was something else last night. The president had a presidential address to Congress. I don't want to get into the political nature of it too much, but there were a lot of Houston moments, you know? What were those Houston moments? Well, specifically, a very cool moment. DJ Daniel, who's a 13-year-old with brain cancer, was made an honorary Secret Service agent. And also, Jocelyn Nugare, who was, of course, brutally killed here in Houston, a wildlife refugee, was named after her. But there was something else that happened, and it also involved the city of Houston. Houston Representative Al Green, who, in the middle of all of this, just got up with a cane, looks like a bit of a pimp cane, and just basically was interrupting him. In the same way that we've seen other politicians interrupt the State of the Union. But that happened last night. And he got kicked out, and I guess he's facing something called censure, which is really funny. Censure is a formal statement of disapproval in the form of a resolution that is adopted by majority vote. So basically, there's a big vote over whether or not this is disapproved of. It's a really stupid thing. It's not even a punishment. It's do we disapprove of the thing that happened? Yes. But this is how I'm bringing it back to sports. Okay, I'm not making this about politics. Who in Houston sports media and who at ESPN 97.5 in particular is most likely to have a moment like this in the middle of a press conference where they just get up and say, resign! Resign,
sir! I rebuke you.
I rebuke you. You, I do not recognize. Or you stand up and dramatically walk out.
So performative, a loud and interruptive.
Yes.
Not willing to voice their discontent with something. This is tough. I'm thinking about the station because it doesn't feel like. Yeah, maybe it's a John Granato move, but it's not as like it's not principled. It's more like heckling.
I don't think John would heckle. Because if John was ever going to heckle, he had an opportunity at the Oscars, and he didn't do it. Didn't do it.
Well, apparently they have like a
different area,
not
right?
Famous person area.
The not famous person area. But yeah. I mean, at least once the thing begins, you're in the.
You're somewhere.
You're in the arena. You could theoretically do it. I don't know if people would hear you if you're doing it all the way from the second row. But he had an opportunity to do it at the Oscars.
Adrian Brody,
and John Granato showed that. He
class
is a classy man.
Also, apparently, the only place where they don't separate the famous and non-famous is the valet, which is very funny.
That is interesting. Yeah, apparently he's like standing next to Adrian Brody for 10, 20 minutes or so. On the Twitch, someone says Joel blank. I don't know if Joel would. I think Joel would leave. I don't think Joel would interrupt it.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the balls to interrupt it either. I would ask a question, but if I don't have the chance to ask the question, if I'm not called on, I generally don't ask it because I think it's impolite. But now that I've realized that you could have a Baghdad Bob, like the Browns person who wouldn't let me ask Deshaun Watson any questions, now I theoretically would, but I'm not going to stand up and say, resign, resign. I'm too professional. Yeah. I am a professional reporter. You might not think so, but bet your bottom dollar. I am. Some are saying, well, Paul, what about that time where you interacted with Ozzie Guillen? Like, were you not doing that right there? No, I waited until the very end of that session, which was, again, like media availability before a baseball game between the Astros and the Marlins. This is when they just moved to Miami, and Ozzie Guillen had just been suspended by baseball for saying in an interview in Spanish with a magazine, I love Fidel Castro. Whoops, you do not do that. And you especially do not do that when you are living in a heavily Cuban population like Miami. And we do have this, right? This is how that sounded.
Castro, fucking grow up, motherfucker. You kidding me?
He told me that. But he did say nice try afterwards. And I was not trying to, like, confront him. I was basically asking, like, hey, have things settled down?
Yeah.
Because that's a pretty big thing to have settled down, you know, for the people who actually care about the Marlins. Now, maybe not enough people cared about the Marlins in Miami for that to be an issue for him.
But back then, because when Ozzie Guillen was the manager of the Marlins, like, that was when they built a new stadium. They were, like, actually semi-trying for half a season, mm-hmm. and then they weren't good, and then they sold at the deadline. Like, that was, like, a very, like, I guess, like, It's what the Texans were this past offseason. That's what the Marlins did, except the Texans actually won 10 games and made the playoffs. Yeah, Marlins, again, sold at the deadline. But I have to imagine that was, like, huge news. Because I don't know what the, like, I don't know what the analog is for, like, something locally where if, like, the manager of a team that we don't normally talk about, I guess, like, think, like, if David Culley back in the day.
David Culley is pro-cartel.
Yeah, he was like, he was like.
I love the cartel. Of all people to do it, David Culley.
I know. I chose David Culley because I don't remember a single thing he said.
I do because just whenever he said things, you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense, buddy.
Analytics. I remember analytics.
God, I forgot about that. Yeah, he needed the headset. The Casario headset to Culley.
Yeah,
I think it was necessary.
Reviewing after the
people
three
are so
years,
mad about that.
3 years since, I'm no big deal.
Oh God, that was rough. Couple more. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. I hate to do this. 75 half falsehoods. If anyone's going to interrupt, BMAC interrupts.
Yeah,
BMAC does interrupt from time to time.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's not. Sometimes he brings something good to the table, and you know what? Sometimes conversations are like that. Sometimes conversations, like when Joe and I were doing the show together. And by the way, Joe still works here. It's just he's taking a different role on because taking some time to be with his family. No, every now and then Joe and I would interrupt each other, that's for sure.
But. Yeah, that just kind of goes, you know, with sports radio. Like that's,
right.
That's why it's different than TV, for unless it's First Take, no one really interrupts anyone on like an actual TV.
Well, have you ever seen that? I'm doing it right there. Doing it right there. I was just thinking, though. Have you ever seen the show on CNN? And again, I'm trying to remove the politics from it. There's like six people on the show, and there's just one Republican guy, and they all just shout at him the whole show. And the guy holds court, and he's really good at it. It's really funny.
No, I haven't. I mean, you could have stopped at, have you seen the show on CNN? No.
Yeah, but. That's fair. That's totally fair. So who would pull an Al Green, 713-780-3776, who interrupted the presidential address to Congress, which apparently isn't the State of the Union, which is happening in a couple of weeks, I guess, but it's not. I don't know. Maybe that was the State of the Union because it is March. I'm not 100% sure how that works.
Normally it feels like State of the Union, like at least I hear about it like the day before.
Yeah,
normally,
I had no idea about this one.
Normally that's when we do a State of the Houston Sports
Union
address.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought of someone – right at the end, former coworker, doesn't work here anymore, Patrick Creighton.
Ooh, yeah.
I think he would.
You storm out? Oh, yeah. Patrick.
Resign!
Patrick would 100% too at...
death penalty.
Death penalty. That's what he would have done. Death penalty while at the presidential address to Congress. I think he would have done it. So there you go, guys. We're having a little fun. We're localizing things. 713-780-3776 to call in or text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. From the 409, did you proclaim it's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, or did someone tell you that? Killer Bees is pretty interactive. No, it is. It is. Paul, you can't prove that. No, I can't, because I said that back in 2016. Galan at Night. Weeknights.
Yeah.
Over at the Texans flagship.
Killer Bees are stealing.
The Killer Bees are
interactivity.
Have they ever claimed that? Because, yeah, then I did it when I was doing 10 to noon, and then, you know, then it was me and Joe interacting with each other, but now I'm interacting with you again. It's just as unhinged as it's ever been.
The Killer Bees kind of talk at you when they're interacting.
Ooh, they yell at you.
Yeah, we discuss with you. They talk down at you.
Right, from the 832. Jeremy Branham and his pompous ass would interrupt anybody. I didn't say that. That's a texter. That is a texter. James Espinosa says, John McClain at ESPN Houston on YouTube. McClain is just given the mic. McClain, everyone kind of just accepts that he is the first person to ask questions. I don't even think he's on the beat anymore, technically, and he still was getting like first questions at press conferences.
Brian T. Smith. Brian T. Smith would, I'm just trying to think of like press conference going back and forth, willing to be avoid, like not get talked down to or shouted down at a press conference. I think Brian T. Smith with his follow-ups would. I think he could hold his own in that situation.
Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champ.
Yeah, and he was trying. And then what did Bill O'Brien say? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Didn't mean to interrupt, but I don't think he was sorry.
I don't think so either.
That's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Who would pull an Al Green in Houston sports media? 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Up next, the 10-minute drill. Who's available for the Texans to tamper with? Bunch of cuts across the NFL and a trade that the Texans should have made. Stick around. You'll hear all about it next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Only two guys got the franchise tag yesterday. T. Higgins from the Bengals, Trey Smith from the Chiefs. The franchise tag deadline was yesterday. That's the fewest people tagged with that designation since 2006.
Ooh! What does this mean for the state of the NFL?
Well, apparently, this is a crap free agent class, and NFL teams are looking at their free agents that way. If you've seen what's been going on at the wide receiver position, I mean, the Jets are cutting Devontae Adams. They're fine moving on from him. The Seattle Seahawks are cutting Tyler Lockett, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are also getting rid of Christian Kirk. There's a lot of volume as far as targets, and I wonder how many more guys will end up being cut over the next couple of days. The NFL's legal tampering window begins Monday at 11 a.m. Central Time, and it ends Wednesday next week at 3 p.m. Central Time.
And then all tampering is back to being illegal?
Correct.
So I do like how
actually, it's Wednesday. My bad. Wednesday the 12th to Friday the 14th.
Okay. Okay.
Friday the 14th. Watch out.
Spooky.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how the legal tampering period makes
check that. I screwed it up. It's March 10th at 11. I had it right originally. Okay. March 12th at 3. No one cares about that timing, but we have to do a countdown 5 days away.
What I'm saying is it makes it seem like it's the Purge, where all crime is legal. All tampering crime is legal for 3 days.
I'm going to tamper you. I'm going to tamper with you so much. Oh. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You want to play a little wide receiver for me? Do you want to be my receiver?
Hmm?
Want to be my guard? Want to get in my trenches?
You know, I can see why dating is important.
the same line as the texter.
Yeah, I'm on the texter's line.
So, there's lots of receivers available in free agency. Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown, Stephon Diggs, Robert Woods also a free agent for the Texans, Darius Slayton, Commanders wide receiver De'Ami Brown, Keenan Allen, a guy from that's now on the Bears, or was on the Bears, that the Texans tried to trade for last offseason. There's a bunch of offensive linemen out there, and that might be the reason that the Texans did not trade for Joe Tooney today. I can't believe that the Bears got Joe Tooney from the Kansas City Chiefs for as little as they did. I really can't figure it out. Nick Caserio, I feel like, should have picked up the phone and called him. I wonder if the Chiefs called anyone other than Ryan Poles of the Bears, because they traded him for a 2026 fourth-round pick. He was the team's MVP, the Chiefs, last year. He's missed two games in his career. He can play left guard or left tackle. And at left tackle, he had the highest pass block win rate in the NFL, maybe not in the Super Bowl. Back-to-back first-team All-Pro. Three straight Pro Bowls. Successfully has changed positions to the most difficult position in the league. I mean, the guy's a stud. Might be a future Hall of Famer. I think he's a five-time Super Bowl champion. Like, this might be one of the most ringed players in NFL history, now that I think about it.
Yeah, because, 2016 he joined the...
Yeah.
The Patriots, so there's two right there in 16 and 18.
Four-time Super Bowl champion.
And then two with the
if they Chiefs, had won, yeah. If the Chiefs had just won, yeah, he would be a five-time Super Bowl champion.
That is crazy. He probably will be the best offensive lineman who changes teams this offseason.
For sure. Yeah. And he was acquired for a 2026 fourth-round pick. I don't care if there's 1 year left on his contract. What are we doing here? Nick Caserio drafted this guy. That's why I can't figure it out. And maybe the Chiefs never engaged in discussions, but to me, this is a miss.
Yeah, because this isn't an offer, you know, if it was the Bears called the Chiefs for it, this isn't an offer that, like, bowls you over, that you accept before hanging up. So, you know, you don't have time to canvass the league because you know there won't be an offer better than this. Like, no, it probably will be a better offer. Or at least a comparable one. You have a meeting about it. But, yeah, no, it does feel like a miss. We'll see what Joe Tooney has left in the tank, but seems like it's plenty based off of very recent, although not his most recent game, but the ones before that.
Even if he's 32, I mean, he's better than every Texans offensive lineman outside of Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just making that assumption.
I think we talked about this on Monday, where the Texans are basically going to have to sign a offensive line and then talk us into it this offseason and talk us into why it'll work and really have to, you know, convince us that these moves will work. Joe Tooney is a guy where you don't need to convince me. If you say that you added this guy, I'm going to be like, okay, I get why he's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Everyone else, you're going to have to probably sell me on why this guy's an upgrade over what they had.
Explain it to me.
Yeah, just like
five.
What's the plan here? Joe Tooney, it's like, I get the plan. This guy's 100%. Awesome.
Yeah, and the Bears have been aggressive, and they've gotten two offensive linemen in this offseason. They also got a guy who the Rams signed to a three-year, $51 million deal last offseason, but he got hurt, then benched, and then he asked for a trade. So not a lot in exchange for him. But, I mean, Jonah Jackson from the Rams and Joe Tooney from the Kansas City Chiefs.
Two interesting moves. It does help kind of set the market or set expectations for what another team that needs, you know, probably two guards at least.
Right.
What they're going to need to pay to fill those spots. Like the Houston Texans, now you're looking at like, a six-round pick and next year's fourth. Like, if we can get a comparable, like, this is where you need more guys available.
Yeah.
And
there are a lot of offensive linemen available in free agency. So maybe this is if you pick up the phone and call somebody and say, like, hey, like, fourth-round pick or sixth-round pick, you want one? For this offensive lineman, maybe you're not that thrilled with. So the pro scouting department of the Texans got some work to do. I think you failed here.
I do think they kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah.
My biggest takeaway is, A, why the Chiefs trading this guy? B, why the Texans?
Yeah.
Entertainment.
Right. Like, this is like everyone's saying, oh, the wide receiver stuff. No. I mean, and they need a wide receiver, but the offensive line.
Yeah. If Joe Tooney was like the Joe Tooney of wide receivers and this happened, like, this would be a meltdown on Texans Twitter.
I mean, Randy Moss was acquired by the Patriots for a fourth round pick, but he wasn't playing like Randy Moss had been. And then he had the best season of his career with New England with the
07.
Record for touchdowns in 07. Right. So, I mean, maybe it's extreme. It would be an extreme comparison because Joe Tooney was so good last year. Like,
he's an all-pro.
It's like that. This is actually like more of a robbery than the Randy Moss trade to New England, at least on paper, going into the year. The Cowboys restructured CeeDee Lamb's contract. CeeDee Lamb patted himself on the back for it, and apparently the Cowboys actually had the right to restructure his contract without his say. So that's interesting.
Well, the credit to CeeDee Lamb.
He's being a good teammate there.
For accepting, you know who accepted the contract with this clause?
That's true, with the provision in there, because he always knew he could help him out. Pat yourself on the back a little bit.
Highest paid receiver in football. Hey, but I'm a team guy.
That's like when James Harden patted himself on the back for taking less money with the Sixers, and then the Sixers screwed him over, which is kind of funny.
Daryl Morey is a liar.
Yeah, he's.
Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar.
Good on Daryl Morey. Like, there's Daryl Morey and I like had a couple interactions. I like two things Daryl Morey's done. I liked his pro Hong Kong tweet, and I like that.
Screwing over James Harden.
He's screwing over James Harden. Oh, you hate to see it. Oh, no.
Do you like the screwing over James Harden, last year or 2 years ago, more than you like him actually trading for James Harden in 2012?
Yes.
One of the most lopsided trades in history.
Yeah, like the best trade the Rockets have perhaps ever made as a franchise?
Basically, it's until the Luka trade a month ago. The biggest robbery in recent history.
Yeah, I mean, like, trying to think of somebody else. I mean, maybe getting Clyde Drexler or something like that, what they did. I don't know what they got him for, but, like, yeah, because Scottie Pippen trade didn't really work out, and Charles Barkley trade didn't really work out.
If Scottie Pippen was good, that would have been a robbery.
Right, for sure. But, I mean, obviously those didn't work. Yeah, like, Harden's not even close. And, yeah, I liked it better when he screwed him over in Philadelphia. Whatever. Am I a petty a-hole? Yes. The Raiders are releasing Gardner Minshew, so that's fun. He's 28 years old. Also, something I discovered on NFL Reddit today. Did you know that Hunter Renfrow has been out of the league for a year and is now like the director of a recycling firm?
What?
Yeah, he's like working in sanitation. Is he in the mob? I don't know. Has he been blackballed by the league? Maybe.
That is something I thought of when the Texans were looking for, I think it was after Diggs got hurt, not even after Tank got hurt. Whereas, like, Hunter Renfrow is just a free agent.
He's just a free agent. He's the head of a recycling firm of some sort.
That's wild. I hope there's a story there.
And one last story in the 10-minute drill, and this is more just for me to, you know, pull Jasmine Crockett and say they're not like us. I'm just kidding. To pull a Kendrick Lamar, right? That's how you say it. Yeah. Anyway, music expert here. I don't know any songs by Reba last night, but I jammed along, that's for sure. The 2026 World Cup Final is going to have a Super Bowl-style halftime show. F off! You're not like us! You're not like us! You international fogies! F off! Because here's what they'll do. Here's what these international bastards will do. Because the IOC and FIFA, F them with a shovel. They both suck. Like, all filled with scumbags. Complete scumbags who just steal, 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 steal. These a-holes will not include any American act. They won't. They'll do some international thing and they'll shut us out.
Yeah, it'll be Shakira.
And it'll, I'd be cool with that. But it'll suck because it will not be American music. In American music, we are the epicenter of music. We are the epicenter of culture. Everyone else, you try to be us, you can't be us. F you, World Cup, for trying to pull off a Super Bowl halftime show. I'd rather watch the Kendrick Lamar halftime show, which I didn't like, than I'd watch your halftime show. F you, World Cup.
The only way they can save it is by having Kendrick Lamar do Not Like Us again.
Yes.
18 months from now or whatever the World Cup is.
Well, I'm singing They're Not Like Us. They're Not Like
they,
Us.
They are
to the
like
World
us.
Cup. You aren't like us.
Also, what took you so long to put a concert in the middle of this? The biggest game in the world.
Seriously. That makes no sense. All right. Keyshawn Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We'll respond to some things that you said during that segment. On the table today, Rockets got a karmic loss. They deserved what happened to them last night. And I think the Texans missed the ball, not trading for Joe Tooney. We continue our countdown to Astros opening day, March 27th. We'll give you that bone. And there's some bad news when it comes to one of the newest Astros. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I have no idea how the NFL offseason works. Because I was of the belief that no deals can be made until the NFL's legal tampering period, which begins Monday the 10th at 11 a.m. and continues to Wednesday the 12th at 3 p.m. Like, I figured that's when we'd hear about deals being made. Get this. The guy who had the triple crown in the NFL last year in terms of sacks allowed, he was number one. In terms of pressured allowed, he was number one. And in terms of hurried allowed, he was number one. Alex Kappa, who the Bengals released, get this, he just signed a 2-year deal with the Raiders.
Wow, Raiders couldn't wait to get that guy in their building.
They also signed Max Crosby to a 3-year, $106.5 million extension, and I'm sure that they're hoping more people are focusing on that than the fact that they just signed the first free agent of the offseason. I thought we had to wait. What are we doing here?
No, so the rule is if you get cut, you're immediately. If you get cut before the legal tampering period and without like the post June 1st designation, like they can basically cut you during this league year and you can sign. Because that's what happened with J.J. Watt when J.J. Watt got released by the Texans.
Yeah.
He signed with the Cardinals, but I think before free agency actually started. So theoretically, the Texans could sign Devontae Adams at any point.
Theoretically.
Or Tyler Lockett. Theoretically.
At any point. All those guys are available because, yes, Tyler Lockett got released today. Christian Kirk released today. Yeah. Devontae Adams released yesterday, and I'm sure that Nick Casario is making some phone calls. I just wish he made a phone call for Joe Tooney. Anyway, guys, we're getting closer and closer to opening day for your Houston Astros. Give me that bone!
Another year, another inevitable AL West title.
For the fourth year in a row, and the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champion.
We're counting you down to Astros opening day 2025 on March 27th.
It's a lot of people that count us out early. We don't quit. We got grit.
We are built for this.
Let's go!
Some bad luck already for the Houston Astros. Newly signed first baseman Christian Walker was scratched from today's spring training game with left oblique soreness. So John Singleton, the most ripped man ever, at least in his life, is stepping in.
He's got obliques everywhere. No issue there.
That's true. Jose Altuve, meanwhile, hit a home run back-to-back with Jake Meyers today. He made a couple of routine plays in left field. One of them, just a routine fly ball. The other, with no video per Brian McTaggart, a nice running catch towards the gap on the track. Okay. And guess what? That play by Altuve, it led to outfield coach Jason Bell greeting Altuve with a smile when he got back to the dugout.
I really wish there was video of this, but
yeah,
I also kind of like that it's behind closed doors.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like when a movie comes out and there's only like special screenings and whatever. So you only hear like, you know, it's actually really good, or, you know, it's actually a disaster. And apparently we just won't find out until opening day.
I know.
Which I kind of, on one hand, I don't like. On the other hand, I do like that it's like, good, I don't want this spoiled, because this is what's going to get me through the first month of watching these games is...
Altuve at left field.
Altuve at left field.
Watch. We just count putouts. We just count plays that are...
Leads the American League West in putouts for left fielders.
I think we're going to do that. Any single that's hit to left field, like, how would we grade it?
Could have Altuve gone to that?
Yeah.
Could a better left fielder have gone to that?
More from the Astros in spring training. Interesting piece written by Adam Spillane of the Flagship. An interview that he did one-on-one with Dana Brown. He asked Brown last Thursday who has stood out through the first 2 weeks of camp. That's easy, Brown replied back with a grin. Cam Smith. The human being is special, continued Brown. When you nail the human being on a draft pick, that's when you usually see special things happen. And we're not just talking about him being special because he is an aircraft carrier human. He's also a special human being.
Okay. You didn't draft him, but okay, Dana Brown. I get what you're saying. He says when you nail the human being on a draft pick, it's like, well, you traded for him 2 months ago. But yeah. So far, so good. I like this.
More from Dana Brown talking about Cam Smith. We like the tools and the ability, but just getting to know him and how dedicated he is to his craft and how competitive he is, but yet humble, it's a treat. Damn! And again, Dana Brown, politician, so everything, there's a lot of polish with it.
I know, but this is like, he's got a crush on him.
Here's the most interesting thing that he said about Cam Smith, Astros super prospect. Quote, "We felt like he can run fast enough to play right field, and he could really throw. So if the bat continues to come and develop, we may get him some outfield reps in the spring, knowing he's probably got a clearer path to get into the big leagues as an outfielder. We knew when we traded for him there was a chance that he could end up in the outfield because he's such a tall third baseman, and you don't really see a lot of third basemen that are that tall. And I guess only four players that play third base started 80 or more games at third base last year in baseball. Cam Smith is 6'3".
So only four guys 6'3" started?
At third base, yeah.
Wow.
So aircraft carrier man could potentially play in the outfield. Spillane is the guy who says he has no chance, Cam Smith, of making the opening day roster, and I'm sure that he got that from Dana Brown in this interview. But Brown, as far as where you will see Cam Smith in 2025, we're going to let him to continue to play it out. Sometimes the players will let you know where they should start, and I think that's the big point. And if you can continue to watch this guy, you'll get an idea of where he should start. So, could be double A. I think he's only done single A to this point. Could be triple A. I would imagine double A is always where the young players seem to go first, and sometimes they skip triple A altogether.
Yeah, and Smith has done, I believe, 5 games of double A. When he was with the Cubs. So that's where I expect. Also, I heard Chandler Rome talking about this on his podcast, where the PCL, the league that the...
It's bizarre.
That the Space Cowboys are in AAA, so many of the away fields there are at crazy elevation that you don't actually get like a good feel for their real power numbers.
Well, which Brendan Rodgers issues.
I know, right?
Because he's a C-level player.
But the... But Cam Smith is just like, every fly ball is just going to fly out of these rinky-dink.
Ah, yeah.
Albuquerque ballparks. But yeah. So I imagine Double A, but if he keeps hitting like this, it doesn't sound like he's too far away from playing in the majors. It really just looks like, and with Dana Brown acknowledging, like,
he can play outfield.
Yeah, we think he can play outfield. If his bat continues to develop, he can get some outfield reps, and that's probably a clear path for the big leagues. So it seems like Dana Brown's thinking what we're thinking with, hey, you can just throw him in right field. He probably wants to see him actually play right field.
I would think so.
But
and look, you can do that at the minor league level, yeah, right?
If he's going to start in the minors, I think he should play more right field.
I'm with you there. So we'll see what happens. But this is, I think, a good sign, if not to see Cam Smith on opening day, to see him at some point this year. And maybe sooner rather than later. Of course, service time manipulation definitely in play here too. And I imagine Dana Brown knows that, and he's thinking to himself, I can't just think about the window being open now.
It's like, hey, if we can wait until like May to do this, then we can do it. Or try to sit them all year. I don't know what they're gonna do.
I think the only way that they would break open in case of emergency would be if they're off to a disastrous start and they're just trying to get people to be excited because people are starting to check out on that.
So last year.
Got it.
Yeah. Last year when they called up Joey Loperfido. Got it.
Oh, God.
You also need injuries.
This would be a more exciting call than Joey Loperfido, though, for sure.
It would be. We're kind of talking ourselves into him.
Yeah. Yeah. I want it now. I do really want it now. F it. Screw it. What do you have to lose? Jake Myers, Jazz McCormick.
F them arbitration year.
Yeah, I agree. The window's open now. Open it! Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. The Rockets deserved to lose last night. I think it was karmic justice. But, and a question we've asked several times, are you concerned that once again, Ime Udoka had to call out the effort of this squad, especially after he gave it the night off before? We'll discuss. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.